Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. I am here with some very special people as we take time to discuss our final core value, which is submission to spiritual authority. And yes, we understand this is a hot topic issue. And so I want to kick things off with a scripture here in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. It says, "Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that will be of no benefit to you." And so this is our theme scripture for this core value. And we believe it's so important. And I gotta be just real. I feel like my work is a joy serving the Path Church in this way. I'm so very grateful. There's been ups and downs, hard times, really fun times over the years as a leader in this church, but I am so grateful for the people that we have. I like to tell y'all, you are a joy, and I'm very grateful, very thankful, especially how we've handled ourselves through this pandemic. So we're going to talk today about submission to spiritual authority, but also what it means to be submissive overall in our relationship with God and one another. Now, the term submission in the Greek, it's a military term, which means to arrange troops in a military fashion under the command of a leader. Now, in non-military use, it was a voluntary attitude of giving in, of cooperating, of assuming responsibility and carrying a burden. You know, when I think about submission, I simply think about the act of yielding our will to the will of another, right? One of the best kind of writings that I've seen on submission is actually from a marriage book by Sam and Jerry Lang called Friends and Lovers. And they talk about what submission is and what submission is not. And they talk about submission in the term of respect, right? But this is what they say. They say submission is not being untruthful. Submission is speaking the truth lovingly with wisdom and with proper timing. Submission is not violating God's word or the laws of the land, but submission is encouraging your leader to do the righteous things and adapting in matters of opinion. And so this was in terms of a marriage relationship, but I've adapted it a little bit for even spiritual authority and submission in the church. They went on to say that submission is not violating your conscience, but submission is being content when things don't go your way. Submission is not a lack of intelligence and weak convictions, but submission is the hallmark of wisdom and strength. And at its heart, submission really is a practical issue in many ways, because there's so many relationships in life, so many dynamics that simply cannot function without it, right? I mean, you talk about parents and children, you talk about employers, employees, teachers and students, coaches and athletes. If there's not a willing submission in those relationships, it's going to be hard to accomplish anything in those relationships. And you think about it, how many times have we seen chaos in the home, in the classroom, workplace, even in athletics, right? Because of a lack of submission. But we got to say also that unwise leadership and abuse of power will happen. We live in a fallen world, an imperfect world, but those instances do not negate the need for leaders to lead and followers to follow. And what we need are better leaders than followers, right? Not an abandonment of that concept. There's always this time to stand up for what's right and make sure that others and even ourselves aren't being taken advantage of, abused because of people, you know, in powerful positions or using that in a dysfunctional way, right? Submission to authority. But that's not the same as, you know, the habitual attitude of just rejecting God-given authority and continually kind of going against leadership. And that's what we want to protect the church from. I'm so grateful that we have a couple of our elders and their wives here today. We have Paul and Michelle Van Dries, as well as Derek and Brunia Chisholm. And, you know, they've all been in positions as leaders and followers, whether in marriage, at work, or even in the church. So at this time, I'd like for you all to go ahead and just tell us a little bit about yourselves, introduce yourself to the people. We like to hear a little bit about, you know, how long you've been disciples, how long you've been married, you know, tell us about your children and what you do for work, how you serve in the church. So Chisholms, let's start with you.
Hey, Angel. Like you said, my name is Derek Chisholm, and it's my lovely wife, Brunia Chisholm. We've been married for going on 28 years. April 9th will be 28 years. And we've been disciples for 32 years. And we have three children, three adult children, ages 25, 23, and 21. All scheduled to change this year. This will be, you know, they'll be moving up this year. But I'm an information systems manager over at Georgia State University. And
I'm an engagement center manager.
Hey, at Delta. Newly appointed.
Newly appointed. Congratulations, Brunia, on your new promotion.
Thank you.
And how are some ways you serve in the church?
Okay, well, I am one of the elders here, and my wife and I, we work a lot with married couples, families, basically doing classes on both of those, on marriages and families. And I also work closely with the music ministry. You might see me on Sundays singing or something to that fashion.
And you won't see me because I will be downstairs with the kids, because that's where my heart is always.
Brunia loves the kids. We know that. TT Brew. All right.
Paul, they come looking for me, and I love that.
Awesome. Paul and Michelle, introduce yourselves.
Paul and Michelle Van Dries. We've been married for 25 years now. We have three kids. PJ's 22, Miles is, no, PJ's 32. Miles is 22, and Layla is 15, and our dog, Bruno, is 3 years old. I'm a retired detective from New York, soon to be a retired carpenter. I serve now as elder in the church. Michelle?
I am Michelle, Paul's wife. I am an assistant principal in an elementary school. I support my elder husband as he supports the church. We lead a Bible talk in the north, and truly many areas in the church I dig in. Currently at the welcome table, my next rotation will probably be with the children. And as the Chisholm shared, also supporting in workshops, helping in any area of need with the marriage ministry.
Well, thank you all so much. We're so grateful for all the ways you serve and the incredible examples that you all set in many, many regards. So we're going to jump into the topic of submission. And I just want to hear from you when it comes to submission to God, right? We know that's where it starts, being submissive to God. And we all have to submit to God in order to become disciples. But it's a challenge for everybody. So let me ask you all, what is maybe the area in your life that's been the most challenging to submit to God?
So after all these years, it's Jesus being Lord of my emotions, because you never know what you're going to be feeling from 1 minute to the next. Some days are great, and I'm excited, and I want to do so much. And then there are days where it's like, oh, I wish somebody would tell me to do something. And, you know, then you got to like fight through, and now making Jesus Lord of the emotions. So it's that's what it is for me.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I think for me, it may be more so planning. Just, I like to learn. And what that has done is put me in a lot of positions where I learn a lot of new things, but then I want to put all those things into practice. So always want to, whether it be career or doing things with the kids or, you know, things in the future or whatever, just planning, just not knowing and not having control over plans or time, things like that. So just trusting that, okay, like the scripture says, God has a plan for us, you know, plans to prosper us and not to harm us. And so it's like, okay, God, what's the plan? You know, so.
Real, yep. Thank you. Paul and Michelle, what about for you all?
So I have two. My time. My time. I want to use it how I want to use it. And, you know, sometimes in serving, sometimes in just that heart for disciples or the lost, that means, guess what? You're going to be sacrificing or submitting your time. And that has definitely been an area of growth from the beginning of my discipleship. And it's, you know, it's still a journey. I think another area similar to Brunia, submitting my trust in God immediately. As things come up, as there are concerning situations, I immediately fall on my human nature and worry and get frantic. And what can I do to control this rather than trusting in God immediately?
And for me, Eric, for me is when I first got baptized and with contribution, with giving. And I figured I was giving a good amount of money to the church. And so after really studying it out and having some conversations with a couple of the brothers as well, you know, I knew it was that I was just really not trusting in God, that he would take care of all of my needs, you know, and I could not outgive God. And from that point on, you know, just having that mindset of knowing, you know, God is going to always, always take care of me. And so hasn't been a situation of content after that. So we're good now.
Thank y'all so much. That's real. I appreciate y'all being vulnerable. And, you know, we all have those areas in our lives. And when it comes to submission, you know, and we talk about it in the marriage, you know, realm, oftentimes in the Christian world, what's often talked about is women submitting to their husbands. Now, we know it's much fuller than that. Right before that, you know, the scriptures say that we got to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. But oftentimes it's talked in that sense of women, you got to submit to your husbands. Now, sisters, so let's start there. Talk about your journey in submission to your husband, that concept. What is your conviction on it now? Was it ever a challenging thing? And how have you been able to grow and grow in your understanding of what is God's plan when it comes to submission? Michelle, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, I can start. So I think I took that out of our vows. It was a dirty word, right? So I was a single woman in the 90s. So when you think about that era, it was Control, Janet Jackson. It was Living Single on ABC, right? Renee, you can relate to those songs and that era of TV shows. So that was my mindset. I knew what I needed to do, and I was smart. I had a job. So I didn't need to be told how or when or really even given advice. But once making the decision to make Jesus Lord of my life, once understanding what the scriptures said about submission, you just mentioned Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another, right? Out of reverence for Christ. So that was not an option. That's a clear directive that's what I needed to do. I think, but even reading in the scriptures, I didn't quite understand what that would look like practically. So for me, it was watching other women. It was watching Tammy, Brunia, Griselda, seeing the way that even when things were not necessarily fun for them, they submitted to their husbands. So I think about also spiritual books that I read. I think Gentle and Quiet Spirit was one of them that helped me to understand what that looked like. And I mean, I'm not at the end of that journey. It's still a road. It's still a journey, but I am learning more and more to submit with pleasure to my husband.
So for me, when I got married, submission was a foreign concept to me that went against everything my mama taught me. So my mom told me, you know, make sure you have a little stash. Derek doesn't need to know anything about it. Make sure that you have something to always fall on. You do not need a man to take care of you. You can take care of yourself, you know. And so growing up, you know, that's what I saw. My mom was like the mom, the dad. She took care of everything. And so there was really no respect for the male counterpart. And so going into our marriage, that's what my poor husband had to deal with. And so I had to learn. And oh my goodness, it was really hard until I understood that first I got to trust God before I could even learn the whole concept of being submissive. And there's one scripture I always revert back to, that's Lamentations 3:37. It says, who can speak and have it happen unless the Lord has decreed it, right? And so I had to remember it's God would not let something happen that's going to be harmful to me. And so I can pray about it. I'm going to trust him and then trust that he has my best interest at heart. And also trust that my husband loves me, that he has my best interest at heart. And it was a process. And, you know, we still have to work on it sometimes.
Thank you for sharing. Derek, you know, as the spiritual leader of the home and the family, what is it like to have that type of responsibility, and what are your convictions about living out that role?
Oh, wow. You know, one of the challenges years ago, I think one church leader may have said it once, and my wonderful wife, she kind of ran with it. That brother said, it's always the man's fault. And over the years, I've been hearing that again and again. And I was like, really? Come on. You do me like that. But the awesome thing is I have a spiritual and godly, strong wife, you know. And I think the blessing for me has been knowing that because she is a strong and godly woman, I don't have to, like, try to strong arm anyone. I don't have to, like, you know, she's got her own godly convictions and they're based on the scriptures. And I'm so grateful for that and her relationship with the women at church. So she basically makes my job easier. but as far as my part goes, I strive to really lead by example. Rather than trying to strong arm things or trying to tell someone to, you know, it's like, you know, if you have a strong woman in your life, you know, you're not going to go very far if you're trying to strong arm them to do anything, you know. So, you know, I learned very quickly that that's not the route. So leading by example has been pretty clutch for me. And I've been blessed with a spiritual woman, because then now the Spirit of God does half of the working. A lot of times, if I could keep my mouth shut long enough to let the Spirit work, then my job is like done for me, because God kicks in and it's like, you know, he's like, okay, I'll do the right thing or whatever it is, you know, so.
Amen to that. Paul, what do you think, brother?
Well, you know, it's just really loving my wife the way Christ loved the church. And I think with just making decisions, or really just talking things through with Michelle, sometimes I think things can get emotional. And so when things get emotional, sometimes certain conversations can go left, you know? And I think bringing it back to that normal place, bringing it back to that place that pleases God, is really what we've had to do. The battle sometimes of having conflict, and that can lead to not just talking, you know, and that's not something that we really want to do, or we really want to let our children see in our life. You know what I mean? Because they're going to grow up and later on pick up some of those qualities. And that's really not what we want to happen. And so I try to just, you know, protect her, take care of her needs, not to be overbearing in whatever I'm trying to convey to her, you know? And so I think with that, great things can happen, you know? And if sometimes we're not focused on our conversations, not focused on a solution that will please God, coming back to it, you know, at another time. And so just always thinking about ways to just strengthen our marriage, especially when we're going through things, you know, that we've gone through these last 2 years. And so just grateful for the examples of other brothers in the church like Derek, you know, and Mike, that can really help them whenever I'm going through some things. And so just having a community, having brothers that I can really trust and know that their advice is sound.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that. You know, I try to remember that, you know, being a spiritual leader in the regard of as a Christian, right, means leading in humility. And that's the challenging part. I'm gonna go first in being last, right? I'm gonna go first in being humble, in apologizing, in taking responsibility, in serving. And that's really what leadership is all about and what leadership should look like even in our families. Now, I would love to hear from you, Paul, Michelle. What has been a recent situation where you had to practice submission in your marriage?
Okay, so I can go. I came home, I don't remember, oh, it must have been one day last week. Came home from work, exhausted, right? It's late. And we have a very large dog, and there has been a lot of rain. Oh. My child brought the dog in with muddy feet. I lost it a little bit. And Paul was on a call, and I said, okay, I need you to come. I need you right here, right now. And it was a little over the top, my response about muddy prints all over the floor. I felt very justified. I've explained how we need to do this. What's the process if it's raining outside with the dog? I am tired. You guys have been home for a few hours now. So I'm justified in my anger. And Paul had to remind me, that's not the way. That's not the way that you come home. That's not the way that you greet your family. So it took a little bit, but I had to pause and say, you know what? You're absolutely right. So even though I felt completely justified in my emotions at the time, recognizing that I had to submit, I had to listen to his counsel in that situation and just reflect on my actions so that, you know, okay, the next time I handle this differently.
That is deep, because every parent can relate to what you just said. Oh my goodness. Especially when you've been working all day.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah. Man, I just want to come home to a clean house, to some peace.
Yep.
So that's very humble of you, and a great example. Thank you for sharing that and being vulnerable and just giving us that kind of that insight, real practical insight on what it looks like and how it could be such a healthy thing when we really are submissive, first to God, to the scriptures, but to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think that's one of the things that we forget in marriage sometimes. I know I do, is that, hey, my wife is my sister in Christ. You know, even beyond my wife, right? She was my sister in Christ before I got married to her for us. And you know, God willing, we'll be, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ for eternity. So thank you for sharing that. I want to transition to submission to spiritual authority in the church. Now, I think it's important to note here that Not all leaders in the church have spiritual authority, right? There's all types of different leaders in the church, but in our church, it's the evangelists and the elders that have spiritual authority from the scriptures and from God. And that authority really is to live out our roles that God has given us and to make decisions for the church. And because we believe in leading with humility, we get to get input from the leadership team. We get input from the staff. We get input from the board, even small group leaders or volunteer team coordinators, other people that are serving in that capacity. And in addition, we empower other leaders as well to make decisions in day-to-day things that align with our mission, vision, our core values. So that's what spiritual authority is in the church, to live out our roles, to make decisions for the church. But, we don't have spiritual authority over people's personal lives, over their decision-making, right? What job they get, what's best for their family, where to live, different things like that, whether or not even they will serve or even whether or not they will repent. Like, that's all we can do is do our part to lead and guide them to what the scriptures direct us to and in serving them, be their best for God. But ultimately, everybody has the freedom to make those decisions. That's what God does for us. God doesn't force us. He doesn't, place his authority, strong arm us in any way. He gives us the freedom to even learn from our mistakes. And, that's our conviction. But as brothers, elders, you have spiritual authority, but it hasn't always been that way. So my question to you, and we can start with you, Derek, what mm-hmm. has that process been like for you when it comes to striving to be a great leader and a great follower? Because you weren't always an elder in the church. You always right. didn't have a position of authority. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I can. And as you were speaking, it just made me really think about the scripture. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, where it just talks about, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in knowledge and Son of God, becoming mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And the reason why I thought of that scripture, because you were talking about roles. And I think the whole concept of roles is so crucial to the concept of submission, because when we understand our role and who we are in the body of Christ, it's not necessarily one role is better or above or below. It's just understanding how you fit into the body of Christ, and so as part of church leadership, it's our job to equip, the body of Christ and build them up, prepare them for works of service. Now, that doesn't mean that any other role is less. It just means that that's specifically our role. With that, just understanding my role over the years is, okay, your role changes. I submit to the evangelist because it's the evangelist's job to kind of like give vision and direction to the church or whatever it is. But, someone else may need to submit to the pastors and elders because for them it's shepherding and giving guidance, nurturing and building up and things like that. So I think for me, that's kind of what it meant to me, just understanding what my role is in any given situation. And if it's someone else's role to lead that situation, then I don't have a problem with submitting to it as long as it's in line with the scripture.
That's a great point, Derek, because I tell people all the time, I'm not the lead in every realm of my life. And so, but because I know what it's like to have that position, I strive to be the best follower, mm-hmm. Because it's interesting, you share, you're in the music ministry. You don't lead the music ministry per se. So
not at all.
Submissive role, but because you know what it's like to lead, you strive mm-hmm. to be the best follower you can be. Yeah. And I could understand that. Because when you're in those positions, I often think about, well, how can I be a joy the way I want other people to be a joy when I'm out front and taking on the risk really of leading and serving in that capacity. Paul, let me ask you, you have any thoughts on that, sir?
Yeah, I've always had the mindset of, you know, God, use me in any way that you see fit, you know, and you're perfectly right. You have to be a great follower to be a great leader. You know, I can remember, you know, after being baptized, Mike said to me, hey, Vendries, are you ready? And he's still saying that to me today. Are you ready? You know, but I remember in the days when I got baptized, just learning how to be in a Bible talk conversation, you know, how to lead that, you know, from there, how to go down to the colleges and have a Bible talk there just to meet people. I remember Mike being in, I forget, maybe it was a Chick-fil-A. I don't know if it was a Chick-fil-A, and him reaching out to a brother, just teaching me how to do that, you know, because it wasn't natural for me, you know, to make new relationships, especially with people that I didn't know or people that I thought weren't on my level, you know? So it was really a learning experience for me how to really be a great follower first. And then from that point on, just leading a Bible talk, learning how to lead in the North, you know, and till today, being appointed as an elder, and just pray that God will use me now in this capacity. But it's always humbling to be able to just serve, you know, and to fill the gap, mm-hmm. knowing that each of us has a different role in the church. And that because of that, we're able to have a church that is strong, a church that will thrive, you know, and when people come, they see the unity, you know? So I think just as Paul said, once again, you know, follow me as I follow the example of Christ.
Yeah. I appreciate you sharing that. I think I have to say here that I have always felt very supported by all of you here, you know, on the Zoom. I'm so very grateful to be part of this team. And, you know, I look back on my life, you know, and, you know, being appointed as a lead evangelist or pastor at 29 years old. I told Mike the other day, like, what were you thinking? You know, but over the years, you know, now 10 years later, you all gave me the freedom. You gave me the strength, the support, the wisdom to grow as a leader, not just in the church, but even with my family. So I want to thank you for that. And I thank you so much for that spirit that you all have. And Paul, you started talking already about the benefits, right, of submission in the church. What are some things that help make submission easier in the church, and maybe even some more of the benefits?
Yeah, I think it's really digging into your Bible to be able to identify, you know, when you meet people, you know, like, I think a lot of times it's trust. So trusting in the leaders in the church, you know, seeing them, their integrity, how humble they are, that they lead with humility, that everything that they do, the decisions, that is for the best interest of the church, so that we can grow and make an impact where we are today. I believe that the benefits are unity, like I just spoke about. You know, we can have joyous times where people can share in our joy. We can have some struggles where we can have people just pray for us, give us advice, help us. I believe that unity builds strength. And we need to be strong. We're in a spiritual battle. Just from what we are coming out of now these last 2 years, I know for a fact that if the church did not implement the small groups and one another relationships that we've invested in over so many years, we wouldn't have made it. So many churches didn't. And then the last component of that is the servitude, just following Christ and his example. You know, really going out and just spreading his word. That builds character within us. That is good for us. We can, that is something that will help our families when they see that. our friends will be attracted to that. And so there's so many benefits to just, you know, submitting to leadership. And definitely.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate you saying that, you know, even in Hebrews 13:7, hey, look at your leaders, you know, be confident in them, imitate their faith. Now, you know, I'm going to switch gears a little bit, you know, to the Chisholms and mm-hmm. ask you, you know, how would you counsel somebody that may be struggling with trusting leadership, maybe mm-hmm. struggling with submission? I see you laughing over there, Ms. Brunia. What do you think?
Well, we were taking it back to this incident that we had, like right around Halloween, right? And I looked at Derek and I said, "Now, promise you're not gonna judge me." And he's like, "Oh boy." And so I said, "You know, if we're gonna be having trunk or treat and all kinds of stuff, I'm just gonna do virtual church tomorrow. I'm not going." And he didn't say a word. And I was in my feeling at the time, going back to the emotions, and I was feeling like, you know what, we're going to serve the same thing every Sunday, Father, the Son, and the Spirit. We don't need to dress it down, color it, paint it, make it look attractive, put fluff in it. It's going to be the same every Sunday. And so if we're going to be doing all kinds of craziness, I'm not going. I'm just going to have virtual church. And he's still didn't say anything. And then at some point afterward, I'm like, how come you didn't say anything? Because I was going at it and letting you know what I was feeling and thinking. And how come you didn't say anything?
It's like, well, first of all, if I'm saying something, then I'm not going to learn what you're thinking. So I just be very still and let me hear what she's saying and try to understand what she's saying. But then also knowing at the root of it, my wife loves God. So I'm like, okay, let me just be very still and let the Spirit do what the Spirit does, you know, because she turned around later on. It's like, you know, okay. And then she went out and she bought a like Baby Yoda outfit and then was like the life of the party at the trunk or treat. And then I'm there dragging her away into fellowship. Okay, time to go, you know. So ultimately, I know that my wife loves God and she's going to submit to God more so than to me. And so at that time, I didn't feel like I needed to interject. But I think that's very real. We don't always want to do certain things. You know what I mean? It's like we don't wake up and say, oh, I think Michelle shared earlier about, you know, I'd like to decide how I spend my time, you know, and you know, I knew just from history, my wife had, Brunia had different feelings about Halloween. And, you know,
I've always felt like you spend your whole life teaching your kids not to talk to strangers and not to take anything from them. And then, you know, there's that one day everybody lose their mind, trick or treat, and letting them go to all any kind of strangers. They don't even know them. So
those rules don't apply today.
But I think as we had small kids, I would just deny myself and I'll try to, you know, build memories and all kinds of cute little fluffy stuff. But then I was thinking about my kids. I'm like, I don't see them coming back saying, thank you so much. And I know you didn't really care for Halloween, but you did it for me. Like I felt loved, you know. So that was me processing all of that when I was trying to make that decision.
But I think in helping someone who is going through those very real emotions, I think that the key thing is helping them to understand the bigger picture. You know, because I think in the moment it becomes about us and how we feel. But at the end of the day, I'm pretty sure half of the people at church feel the same way. But sometimes we do it because we're thinking, OK, this is a great way of reaching out to people. This is a great way of making new friends. And ultimately, the goal of the church is to represent Christ and to make disciples. So all of those different things are really leading us back to there. So just, I think in helping someone else, just helping them to understand that church is not just about us and our personal experience with church, but also about the mission of the universal church, which is to save souls.
The greater good.
Yeah, so the greater good.
One thing Dr. Patterson always say is understanding what is doctrine, you know, what is biblical, and then what is like your opinion.
Or methodology, yeah.
Right. And so I think that's been great in him. Just keep reiterating that and helping us to understand you are going to feel things. You're going to disagree with things. You're going to have different emotions. But at the end of the day, what is the best for Christ's church to be able to build up the body of Christ?
Thank you so much. And what I hear you saying is that, hey, those feelings are real, but we have to be honest. We have to be open. Mm-hmm. But also be open to feedback and open to, of course, God and His Holy Spirit. That brings up and I would say this on behalf of just how we strive to lead. I think it's also helpful just to try to give people insight on the decision making process, where we're going, our vision, the future goals, why we're doing what we're doing, and not assume that everybody knows that. But to be transparent in that way, I know that helps me, you know, to know the why. So thank you so much. You know, we're going to close it out here with one last point and one last question. You know, you kind of alluded to it when you talked about, you know, our inclination towards self, towards our own perspective. And I believe that one of the greatest challenges in creating a healthy local church is how individualism has really played a role, and the lack of submission can be justified through the use of language such as, you know, the Holy Spirit told me, you know, this is what I need to be doing. This is what God told me to do. Mm-hmm. But for us, you know, we believe in a team leadership approach that's submissive to one another because we trust the Spirit in us over the Spirit in me, right? And so I often go back to James chapter 3, starting in verse 13, when it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and evil, every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." And what I get from this scripture is that knowledge and wisdom are not the same thing, right? We can know a lot of things, but you know, it's how we communicate that knowledge that really, and how we live out that knowledge that will really be the fuller picture on whether we're wise or we are foolish. Because God looks at our hearts, and in this scripture, it talks about, you know, where it comes from. If what we're trying to accomplish through knowledge and wisdom is selfish, right? Then that's not from God. But if it is pure, if it's peace loving, considerate, submissive, that wisdom has characteristics to it. And we can say all the right things or have all the knowledge, but if we don't go about it in a way that pleases God, then it's not wisdom. It's actually foolish, and it could cause a great deal of harm. So I want to ask you all just to share about how maybe you've experienced that in the leadership team, how the team leadership approach or the lack thereof, the lack of submission has played itself out even in our decision-making. Derek, you want to share first in that regard?
Oh yeah. So there's plenty of opportunity when you're in a group of people where everyone thinks differently, comes from different backgrounds and holds different paradigms and the way they view life in general. But you know, having a sense of unity and reverent submission to Christ for one another is crucial because, you know, we've experienced things in the past where it's just real easy for one person to just draw a line in the sand and feel as though things should be their way or the highway and not necessarily surrender or submit to the Spirit in all of us as a collective body. And as we look in the scriptures, we see that the Spirit is not going to tell us to do anything that is contrary to what the scriptures say, or it's not going to tell us to do anything that's going to be divisive or harmful to the body of Christ. And so, you know, we've had that where, you know, whether it be church hurt or conflict in the church where, you know, perhaps division in leadership because of an unwillingness to submit to the Spirit's working in all of us. And, you know, and it can be catastrophic and very harmful and counterproductive to what our mission is as a church.
Yeah, appreciate that. Paul, you know, recently we had a situation where you felt strongly about something and you brought it to the brothers. You want to share a little bit about that and how that was handled and how you felt about that?
Yeah, you know, the church was pretty much all done. And we all wanted to be in the church. And so there were just little things that were coming up that, you know, just wasn't allowing us to get in. We didn't have our, you know, temporary CO yet. And I just saw it that we were trying to meet inside. And I met with the leadership team and just expressed, you know, how I felt that, you know, in God's time, he will allow us to meet, you know, and not let us not take it upon ourselves because of the way we're feeling our emotions to go ahead and make a decision that might not be right at that time. And so just speaking to you guys, angels, there was this humility in the room. I mean, the Spirit was there. It was just, you know what? Let's do that. You know, it wasn't met with opposition. But you guys thought it through and we decided, you know what, let's not meet for now, you know, let's do it in God's time and God will make it clear. And soon after that, he did make it clear. We got the temporary CO and we were able to meet, but I'm just grateful to be a part of a church where it's not about one person.
Mm-hmm.
It's about all of us coming together, you know, and that there is unity within that decision-making process. And I think God will definitely bless them.
Yeah. And he did, like you said. And I appreciate you all because, you know, it is very important to me not to surround myself with yes people. You know, I respect you all. I respect your conviction. I respect your relationship with God. I respect the Spirit in you. And so when somebody comes to me with something they feel passionately about, feel strongly about, and have biblical conviction on it, then who am I to fight that? Now, I'll tell you, my temptation was, I want to be in the building. I'm tired of being outside. We could just do little meetings here and there. But I felt like, no, this is an opportunity for us to work together on this. And what I believe is that our unity is more important than matters of opinion, right? Mm-hmm. And so if there has to be a decision made that I may not necessarily agree with, but it'll help us be united, then, you know, I got to submit to that myself because I believe God looks more at the way we handle situations like that, the way we handle conflict, as opposed to just either this is the way you should do it or that's the way we should do it. Because in the scriptures, we have freedom in Christ and we have freedom in how to live out those biblical principles in every situation that we're in. So I just appreciate you all so much for all that you bring to the table, your wisdom, your expertise. Thank you for allowing God to use you in that way. And my prayer is that we can continue to build a great leadership team where we can really be an example and continue to serve the people of the Path Church and raise up more leaders along the way. So thank you all so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. We're going to close out there, but I do want to transition to communion and say a prayer in just a moment. But I want us to remind ourselves that, you know, Jesus set the example in submission. He was submissive to the Father. He was submissive to the Holy Scriptures. He was submissive even to death so that we can live. And so for us, it's following that example. I leave us with Hebrews 13, verse 20. We started with verse 17, but a few verses down in verse 20, it says, "Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this opportunity to come together, to give you the glory, to discuss our convictions, the ways you've worked in our hearts, in our lives, in our marriages, in our relationships, in our church. Father God, we thank you for Jesus that set the ultimate example in submission. And I thank you. I thank you that he is the great shepherd. I thank you that he submitted himself even unto death. And we celebrate his blood right now. We celebrate that it was shed for our sins so that we can have a relationship with you. We celebrate how his body was broken so that we can have a relationship with you. And so during this time, as we just take a few moments to reflect on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, I pray that our hearts will be filled with gratitude at the opportunity to submit to you, God, who you know way more than we do. Who better to submit to? And for teaching us this very simple concept of how we can practice submission to one another in order to have great relationships that honor you. We love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.